السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. الحمد لله الحمد لله وكفى والصلاة والسلام على سيدنا المصطفى صلى الله عليه وعلى آله وأصحابه وبارك وسلم تسليما كثيرا كثيرا. أما بعد، فقد قال الله تبارك وتعالى: أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. سبحان الذي أسرى بعبده ليلا من المسجد الحرام إلى المسجد الأقصى الذي باركنا حوله لنريه من آياتنا إنه سميع بصير. صدق الله العظيم. وقد قال الله تعالى: فدنا فتدلى فكان قاب قوسين أو أدنى فأوحى إلى عبده ما أوحى ما كذب الفؤاد ما رأى أفتمارونه على ما يرى. صدق الله العظيم وصدق رسوله النبي الكريم ونحن على ذلك من الشاهدين والشاكرين والحمد لله رب العالمين. Respected brothers, I'll request you to please try to come little forward because the brothers that are coming can find place. Namaz time, inshallah, we'll get place downstairs somewhere, inshallah. Make place, inshallah. Jazakum Allah. Come away forward, inshallah. May Allah Ta'ala reward you all for that little sacrifice. Especially today, we should not even think of our discomfort. We should think of the discomfort of those Palestinian brothers and sisters of ours, and the Mujahideen and the Afghanistan brothers and sisters, the little children, the elderly, the feeble, the weak. There's no comfort at all. There's nothing. No food, no light, no water. So Allah Ta'ala has given us so much of comfort, we must make shukr over it. Ulama-i Kiram, most respected brothers, and also our sisters listening in at the madrasa, there is nothing new that I can convey to you with regards to Mi'raj, except that which is in the Quran Sharif and in the hadiths of Rasulullah Pak Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. And in fact, the subject of Mi'raj is such that if we have to take just one angle or one section of it, then we can speak the whole night and still we won't be finished. For example, if we have to take just Masjid-e-Aqsa, the history of Masjid-e-Aqsa, from the time that it was built by Hazrat Dawood alayhi salatu wasalam, and then all the renovations that took place, and the different wars that took place, the different people that controlled Masjid al-Aqsa, until afterwards coming to present day history, if we have to just talk on that, then we can speak the whole night just on Masjid al-Aqsa. So therefore, I would prefer that we just go very quickly through those same facts and incidents that you have heard many, many times. But it will refresh our iman. It will, inshallah, make us realize how significant this Mi'raj was in the life of Rasulullah Pak sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And there are many lessons to be taken from this Mi'raj, especially in the light of whatever is happening today. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, as we all know, was Khatamun Nabiyyin rahmatul lil alameen. Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala sent him as a model, as an example. Allah ta'ala said in the Quran Sharif himself that Rasul Pak sallallahu alayhi wasallam, لَقَدَ كَانَ لَكُمْ فِي رَسُولِ اللَّهِ أُسْوَةٌ حَسَنَةٌ, which means that in the life of Rasulullah Pak Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, you will find the ideal example. If you want to follow somebody, get hidayat, get the best of this world and the akhirat, then there is only one model for us, and that is Rasulullah Pak Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Our role model is Rasulullah Pak Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. So Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam was made to go through different tests in his life. There was no need for him to really go through all that. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasalam was a masoom, a sinless prophet of Allah. And he was mehboob of Allah ta'ala. He was the closest to Allah ta'ala. La yumkinu thana kama kana haqquhu ba'das khuda buzrugtu yi qissa mukhtasar. It is not possible to praise Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam. It is just not possible. We cannot do justice to the praises of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasalam. So he says, Ba'das khuda, after Allah you are the greatest. Qissa mukhtasar. So Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam was made to go through all those trials and tests which the ummatis of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam would be made to go through in their lifetime. Some way or the other in the world, an ummati of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, whatever test and trial he was going to face, Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam faced more difficult tests and more difficult trials than that. So that this person, 1400 years later, or even 2000 years later, whenever the person will come, when he is going through some test in his life, he does not think that this is the first person that is receiving this test from Allah Ta'ala. He does not lose hope in Allah Ta'ala. He does not lose faith and trust in Allah Ta'ala. He looks at the life of Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam with his companions, and immediately he gets consolation in his heart. He gets some kind of sukoon in his heart. He gets tranquility in his heart. He gets satisfaction in his heart. And his iman and his faith becomes even more stronger during those trials. He does not become like those people who these days, a little difficulty, a little trial, and they say that we are contemplating taking our lives. I cannot take it anymore, and the only thing that I want to do is take poison and take my life. Because they do not have that kind of iman, and they do not know the history of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So this incident of Miraj took place at such a time in the life of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, which we may term as the most difficult and trying period in his life. Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, we know, was ostracized and boycotted for 3 solid years in Shaab ibn Abi Talib. Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam's whole family, the Banu Hashim, the Banu Muttalib, and the Abu Talib's family, they all were boycotted and ostracized. They were slowly pushed out until they had to take shelter in a valley, and there they were completely ostracized. There was no food that was allowed. So much so that when Hakim ibn Hizam, who was related to Hazrat Khadija radiallahu ta'ala anha, when he tried to get some food on a camel into that valley, he was stopped and prevented. In other words, there was a total boycott. There were sanctions, if we understand those words better. That there was such an embargo on Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam and his family, that no food or anything was allowed. Nobody was allowed to trade with them. Nobody was allowed to marry their daughters to anyone that was there. Now who were they boycotting? Who were they ostracizing? And from with whom were they cutting off all communication? With him who was the closest to Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. But what trying conditions they went through. What trying and difficult conditions. There were no hampers that were dropped from the skies by munafiqs and hypocrites who on the one hand bomb and after that say we are dropping a few hampers. There was nothing of that sort. Here there was nothing that was allowed. So much so that a sahabi of Rasulullah Pak Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam says one late part of the night, he says, I found a piece of leather, a camel that had died, and that skin that was lying on the ground. He says, that skin I took and I boiled it in the pot. Took some of the skin and burnt it and made it like some powder. The ash was, and then with the water I swallowed it just to extinguish that hunger. That was the pain that they were going through. Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam himself We know that Hazrat Khadija radiallahu ta'ala anha, she had sacrificed everything for Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. She was the richest widow merchant in Makkah, in Medina, in Makkah Mukarramah. When Nabi alayhi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam married her, she had plenty of camels, plenty of gold and plenty of everything. But for the sake of the deen of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, she sacrificed everything. And she also had to endure those 3 solid years of boycott, sanction, embargo, whatever you call it, completely. The little babies used to cry. Their crying and wailing used to be heard. And these enemies of Allah and His Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam used to laugh. They used to make a mockery of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. When they used to hear the wailing of the children and the crying of those little babies, "Oh mummy, thirst, thirst." At that time there was no milk in the breasts of those mothers to give those babies. What kind of difficulty they must have been going through. At that time these enemies used to laugh. And they used to tease and they used to mock. And they used to say that if he is the Rasul of Allah, if he is the messenger of Allah, and if whatever he is claiming is to be is true, then where is that Allah of yours? Where is that Allah Ta'ala of yours? So Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam was going through tests, but what a severe test this was for the believers who were with him. What a severe test. Imagine the Rasul of Allah Ta'ala is saying that Allah Ta'ala will send his help. Allah Ta'ala is hearing, he is seeing. Everything belongs to Allah. Allah's treasures are unlimited. And Allah is with me. And Allah is with you. Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam is telling his companions that. And the enemies are saying, if he is with, then where is he? Of course, it's a long history. Because there had been an agreement that had been made. I'm not going into the details. But an agreement was written of this boycott and this ostracism. It was written down and it was put up in the Kaaba Sharif so that everybody who sees, they will be warned that if you have to participate in any kind of activities or any kind of transactions with these people, then you too will be given the same punishment that they are being given. And what was the demand? The demand was, hand over Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam to us and boycott him totally, then we will trade with you, we will remove those sanctions, we will remove all that embargo, and we will deal with you as we deal with everyone else. That's the only demand that they had. That why are you still following this Rasul of Allah, or this Muhammad, they used to call Muhammad, why are you following him, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? You hand him over to us, you boycott him totally, break your relationship with him, and then that will be the end of the embargo. But you think the Sahaba-e-Kiram, Ridwanullah alayhi majma'in, were going to do that? ND507786. We have blocked a driveway of a neighbor. Please go and remove your car immediately. 507786. So Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam was not going to be handed over by these people, his companions. They would give their lives, but they will not hand over Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. We can see how it relates to whatever is happening today. The right outside those volume, put it low, under the canopy there, put that volume low. So Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam with his family, now they were going through these type of difficult trials. As I mentioned that one incident about the leather, then so many sahabis, they say that our survival was on the leaves of trees. We used to boil the leaves of trees. And as we drink our chicken soup and our mutton soup and all kinds of soup, these people, that is what they were drinking and surviving. But the doubt didn't come in their minds that he was misleading them, na'uzubillah. They believed that if Rasulullah says Allah is with us, then he is with us. So that was the situation. Now Allah Ta'ala made it such that white ants ate up that agreement that had been hung in the Kaaba Sharif. Now from where did white ants come there? It was Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala's Qudrat. When they finally decided after a long 3-year history, then there's a long history behind it and how they decided then to end this boycott. But then they said, alright, let's go and look at the agreement. When they went to look at the agreement, they found that it was eaten up, and besides Bismillah or Bismika Allahumma, or just Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala's name was there on the top there, in the name of Allah, in the name of whatever they believed as Allah, that's all was left and nothing else was left. So that was the end of that trial period, a very, very severe one. If we have to now just discuss those incidents, it will make us our hair stand on end and just make us think that what kind of iman these people must have had. Not like us who are prepared to sell our iman for a few miserable coins. Look at their steadfastness. They didn't doubt Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam. Hazrat Khadija radiallahu ta'ala anha. Now the second thing that happens, that this boycott ends, so now Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam would have expected a little bit of peace. But instead, another severe test comes, that Abu Talib, who was his beloved uncle, it's just a pity that he was afraid of the kuffar of Makkah taunting and making a mockery of him and teasing him, that you got afraid of your hereafter or of Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam's teachings, whatever he said about Akhirat, Jannah, Jahannam. So because of that fear, you gave up your forefather's religion and you accepted Islam. So until his dying day, he didn't accept Islam. Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam pleaded to him that just tell me one time La ilaha illallah, so that at least on the day of Qiyamah, I can argue for you on your behalf. But he looked at those leaders that were sitting there, and he said that I am on the deen of these people. Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam was very, very grieved, because he was a backbone and a support. Although he did not accept Islam, but they were afraid to assassinate Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasalam because of the very, very strong following of Abu Talib, who was his uncle. Because of that, they were afraid that if we are going to assassinate him, then there's going to be war against us. Now he passes away in that same year, the 10th year, he also passes away. One side boycott has just ended, here he passes away. Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam then goes through another very severe trial, and that is Hazrat Khadija radiallahu ta'ala anha, who stood by his side from the very first day that she accepted Islam. She married him, and after that, when Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam received the wahi and the nubuwat message in the cave of Hira, then the first verses of the Quran Sharif were revealed. اقرأ باسم ربك الذي خلق خلق الإنسان من علق اقرأ وربك الأكرم الذي علم بالقلم علم الإنسان ما لم يعلم. Now when these verses were revealed, the first person that Rasulullah Paak Sarasam conveyed these verses to was Hazrat Khadija radiallahu ta'ala anha. So the women folk should be proud that the first one to accept Islam was Hazrat Khadija radiallahu ta'ala anha, a woman. And Hazrat Khadija radiallahu ta'ala anha did not doubt one bit when Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam conveyed this message to her, that Hazrat Jibreel alayhi salatu wasalam had come. Hazrat Khadija radiallahu ta'ala anha sacrificed everything for Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam's deen and cause. She never complained one day that, Ya Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasalam, before I married you, I was a rich woman. I had such comfort in my life. I had all the luxuries. In fact, I was the richest woman merchant of Makkah Mukarramah. But after marrying you, I lost my wealth, I lost my property, I lost my gold, I lost my camels. I lost everything, so much so that I was even ostracized and boycotted with you. And I also went through those same trials. No complaint of that sort at all, because she knew that it was for the deen of Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala. They had such love for this deen of Islam. They valued it and appreciated it because they went through difficult, difficult times. We got it in a golden plate. We didn't have to make any effort. We were born in Muslim homes, so therefore we are Muslims, irrespective of what we do. But our Islam does not get affected in any way. If we make one namaz a week, then too we are good Muslims. If we don't make any namaz, then too we are good Muslims. If we steal, we backbite, we commit fraud, we commit adultery and fornication, we do everything that is sinful under the sun, and still we say that we are the best of Muslims, and we are looking for that help of Allah Ta'ala to come down upon us. We have got no control over our passions. There is no discipline in our lives. Our anger and our temper knows no bounds and no limits. But still we are awaiting that Allah Ta'ala's help and nusrat must come, because we are Muslims. So Muslim is not just being born in a Muslim home. Nevertheless, Rasulullah Paak Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, he loses his beloved wife, Hazrat Khadija radiallahu ta'ala anha. Now if we have to just discuss what sacrifices Hazrat Khadija radiallahu ta'ala anha made, and why Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam loved her so much, then it is a chapter on its own. But also something of importance is this, that until Hazrat Khadija radiallahu ta'ala anha lived, who was a widow that Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam married, she was 40 years old and he was 25. And he lived with her right until she passed away in the 10th year of prophethood. Which shows that Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam did not marry any other woman as long as that marriage was sustained. Then what was the need for him when he was now in his 50s to go and marry all the other wives? There was no question of lust or passion or evil desires, na'uzu billahi min zalik. The Orientalists, they try to create that impression that na'uzu billah, Rasulullah Paak sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, it was due to lust and passions that he married this woman. There was great wisdom in why he married those women. And at what time, when there were so much of attacks on Madinah Tayyibah, there was one battle of Badr there, then the battle of Uhud there, the battle of Trench there, and so many other expeditions, where did Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam have the time? Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam's marriages were for the sake of imparting the knowledge of deen. These wives, Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam chose them, and in fact it was all done by wahi. Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala informed him that this is the woman that you should marry. And then there is great history to it, that why he married these wives and what was the benefits of the marriages to these women. So Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam loses his beloved wife Hazrat Khadija radiallahu ta'ala anha. Now these type of incidents are taking place. Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam then thinks that now these people are not going to accept Islam. Let me go and try in Taif. Probably some people will accept Islam there. So Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam walks from Makkah Mukarrama up to Taif. If we have to go by car, we get tired. Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam walked from Makkah Mukarrama up to Taif. There again a whole lot of things that happen, but something that was of real, or something that is of importance to know, is this, that those three brothers that he met, when he conveyed the deen to them, one person said that if indeed you are a prophet, then the curtain of the Kaaba Sharif will soon be torn to pieces. Another person said that if you are a prophet of Allah, then I do not want to talk to you. I do not want to discuss anything with you. If you are a prophet of Allah, then I do not want to waste my time talking with you. And if you are not a prophet of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, then also the same thing, that I do not want to have anything to do with an imposter. Now both ways he says, I'm not interested in you. In other words, I'm not interested in you. The other person says that didn't Allah ta'ala find anybody better to make a prophet than you? Na'uzu billahi min zalik. Now what is the lesson that we are being given? That in the work of deen, a person must never expect everything to be a bed of roses. There will be people who will be critics. There will be people who will be mocking and teasing and laughing and doing all kinds of, causing all kinds of harm. At that time we take a lesson from Rasulullah Paak Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam's life, that as long as the person is on haq, that is the important thing. Most of the times our quarrels and arguments are because we are not on haq, or if we are on haq, we are not conveying the haq in the manner that haq should be conveyed. Haq, the truth, should be conveyed in a certain manner. And if we are not going to convey it like that, then we're going to end up with problems. But even if the haq is conveyed in the haq manner, then too, there will always be this opposition. You can never get one wali of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala who did not have opposition. You cannot get one sahabi of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam. You cannot get one prophet of Allah ta'ala that did not have an opposition. Right from Hazrat Adam alayhi salatu wasalam's time, this opposition is there. There will always be this battle between kufr and Islam, between haq and batil, between truth and falsehood, between knowledge and ignorance. This battle will always go on. But if the person has got haq and he's got Allah on his side, then Allah Ta'ala, in the midst of those thorns, Allah Ta'ala will cause the flower to bloom. That means Allah Ta'ala will give them sukoon in their hearts, irrespective of what kind of conditions on the outside. But this person, Allah Ta'ala, inside his heart, he will give him a sukoon. And the example of that is like the flower. The thorns all around, and you find a beautiful flower in that has bloomed, and this fragrance. That this is what Allah Ta'ala will do. And then Allah gives a chance and a time and an opportunity to the rejecters of faith and to the disbelievers and to those who are criticizing and ridiculing and mocking. He gives them a time to change. He gives them opportunities to change. He creates the conditions for them which are conducive for a change. Then if they accept the change, then alhamdulillah, they can also become the walis of Allah Ta'ala. But when they don't accept that change, then after a certain period of time, then Allah Ta'ala vanquishes them. Then they suffer defeat. Then they suffer all kinds of problems in their lives. So this is history. It has happened in the time of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, and it will happen at all times. So Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam goes to Taif, and this is what they do. First they reject him, and after that, when he says, all right, if you have rejected it, you have rejected it, but at least then let me go and talk to the others. So what do the leaders do? They said, yes, you can go and talk to the others. And in the meantime, they tell the others that when he comes to you, then you must beat him up. You must beat him up and put your little children to throw stones at him. Now Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam is going to meet, and throw stones are being thrown at him. And so much he is bleeding that his shoe Mubarak is filled with his Mubarak blood. Ah, brothers, I wish we could only understand the value of one drop of the blood of Rasulullah Pak sallallahu alayhi wasallam. It's a pity that we do not have that kind of love for Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Therefore we cannot understand that how precious that one drop of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam's blood was. Everything in this world put together, nay, in both the worlds put together, Jannat and all its ni'mats put together, it cannot pay for that one drop of blood of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And yet so much of his blood is being shed. For whom was it being shed? For ungrateful ones like us. In his time, as I always say in my dua, that in his time the kuffar, the mushrikeen, the yahood, the nasara and the munafiqeen, they caused injury and pain to my Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam. And today we who are the believers in Allah and his Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam, and who sing his praises, we are the cause of his pain and his injury when we are going to the discos and the theatres and the gambling dens and indulging in adultery, indulging in fornication, indulging in fraud, indulging in all kinds of vices, missing our salat, not fasting in the month of Ramadan, not giving zakat as it should be given. Now all these things when we are doing, or in his Mubarak city, in that Mubarak city of Madina Tayyibah, or that Mubarak city of birth of Rasulullah Pak sallallahu alaihi wasallam, Makkatul Mukarrama, when we indulge in sins even there. Those television screens, when the same filthy films of that Hollywood, which we curse so much here, that America that we curse so much here, but then we will find so many of our Arab brothers and brothers from other parts of the world and sisters from other parts of the world, what are they watching on that television screen? Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala must give us hidayat. Now we think that Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam is not being informed of what is happening. So what kind of injury and pain we must be causing to him? It's worse than the injury and pain that this kuffar and mushrikeen caused. Because they were kuffar, they were mushrikeen, they were rejecters of the faith. If they caused him injury and pain, then that was understood. Because what else do you expect from those who are the enemies of Allah and his Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam? But when we who claim to be the lovers of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, if a lover has to throw a flower to in anger, then that is also something that will cause injury and pain. There they were throwing stones, but because they were rejectors, Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, when Hazrat Jibreel alayhi salatu wasalam came, because Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam prayed to Allah Ta'ala that, who are you handing me over to? These people who are expressing such anger over me. And then if you have to look at that lengthy dua of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, the gist and the meaning of that is that, oh Allah, are you displeased with me? If you are displeased with me, then I have to go on and on until I please you. But if you are pleased with me, O Allah, then do not hand me to these people. And then he asks for a companion that will share his grief and his sorrow. And there's a lengthy dua of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam. Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala accepts that dua. And immediately he sends down Hazrat Jibreel alayhi salatu wasalam. And he says, with me are the angels of the mountains. If you order, then they will be crushed in between these mountains. But Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam says, O Allah, Allahumma hdi qawmi fa innahum la ya'lamun. O Allah, give hidayat to these people because they do not know me. They haven't recognized me. They do not know that I am your Nabi. They do not know I am your Rasul. So on that occasion and many, many other occasions in his life, in fact, practically every occasion in his life, when Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam was harmed individually as a person, whatever harm came upon himself, he never ever cursed anybody, neither did he hurt anybody, nor did he take revenge upon anybody. Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam was the paragon of virtue. What he dearly loved was forgiveness. They vented all their anger. They threw stones at him. They cursed him. They jeered at him, laughed and mocked and teased. And what was Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam's attitude? He said, Allahumma hdi qawmi fa innahum la ya'lamun. O Allah, give hidayat to these people of mine, for they do not know. For his personal self, he never ever took any revenge. Yes, when the Muslims as an ummah suffered, when 70 of them were made shaheed in Bir Mauna, and in so many other occasions, when the ummah at large was persecuted, was tortured, that time Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam made baddua for those people. This Qunut-e Nazila, which we read in the Fajr Salat at present, when was it read? Look at the history. Those people who say that why sometimes in the du'as we curse, we are not cursing. What we are saying, O Allah, give them hidayat. But if they do, if hidayat is not in their muqaddar because they don't want it, they have made up their minds that they are going to be obstacles, they are going to create all kinds of problems, and they are going to bombard, and they are going to destroy Islam and the Muslims, and they are going to harm the ummah of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, and they are going to usurp their land and their property, and they are going to create havoc in their territory, and they are going to create such fear in the hearts of their old and the feeble and the weak and the little children, and they are going to shoot and kill and bombard even little innocent children and women, then at that time it is the duty of the Muslim Ummah that they must make jihad. And if they do not have the spirit of jihad, or they do not have the means of jihad, or they are not connected with the territory directly, they are, like for example, if jihad is taking place in Afghanistan, then it's the duty of the people of Pakistan, it is the duty of the people that are in the territories around, that they must participate in the jihad. Not close the borders and say that we're not going to even allow them to come out and let them be bombed there, and then those that are saved will give them a few hampers. So if there is a spirit of jihad, they must make jihad. But if they cannot, then it is their duty to make dua for them. And in that dua, we say, Ya Allah, give them hidayat. But if hidayat is not in their muqaddar because they don't want it, Allah Ta'ala does not force it down anybody's throat, then we make dua that, Ya Allah, shake them like you shook the Aad and Samud, and you shook the nations of the past when they went on rejecting Allah's Nabis. Then just as you sent your unseen forces, some you destroyed by gale force winds, some you destroyed with flood waters, some you destroyed by just a scream, some you destroyed in other forms, O Allah, in the same way send down those kind of azabs. And we know and we believe and we got yaqeen that if Allah Ta'ala could use the Ababil to destroy the army of Abraha, who had come with large number of elephants in his army, there were so many elephants, so the Arabs will see the elephants and get the shock of their lives. Why did he come with those elephants? Because the Arabs had not seen elephants, they had seen only camels. So he said, when we are going to go with these huge, big elephants, then the moment they are going to see these elephants, they are going to surrender, and they will give us the Kaaba Sharif, and we will take control, and we will destroy the Kaaba, and then we will make them turn towards that Kaaba that we built in Yemen. So that is exactly like that the moment the Muslims will see our huge aeroplanes, and they will see our military might and power, when they will see our navy, and when they will see our air force, and when they will see our bombers, and when they will see our missiles, then they will straight away raise hands and they will say, you can take our territory, you can take us, you can take our Islam, you can take our Iman, you can take everything away, because we are scared now. So relate to what has happened there. So Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala just as he protected them with the ababil, with that little pebbles which serve the purpose of bullets. We believe that today also our duas can have that same power of them. In fact, it is more powerful than the atom bombs of the world. But its only thing is that it must come out from those hearts which have got the right yaqeen in Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. And then the ummah at large has to give up those sins in their lives, those sins which are the barrier of between Allah ta'ala's rahmat descending. It's a barrier, it's like an umbrella of steel, as I say. Our sins have become like that umbrella of steel that Allah ta'ala wants to send down the rains of rahmat, but this umbrella of steel is blocking it. It's not coming down. Why? Because we haven't even got namaz right in our lives. So Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, then Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, now to cut the whole story short, otherwise the time moves so fast and there's such a long history as far as Miraj is concerned. But what do we do sometimes? Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala makes us say certain things which is for the benefit of the person himself or for the audience. Now here Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala's Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, now Allah ta'ala calls him for Miraj. At such a time now there's Miraj. Why? There are many, many reasons for it. But just to give you very firstly the Miraj itself, Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam was in the house of Umme Hani, his aunt. There are differences of opinion and all that I'm not going into, you are well aware of that. So Nabi Pak sallallahu alayhi wasalam says that Hazrat Jibreel alayhi salatu wasalam, he came through the roof with Hazrat Mikael alayhi salatu wasalam. I have mentioned in my previous bayans on Miraj that the reason for coming through the roof, which was something very, very unique, there was no need for the angel of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala to come through the roof, but it was to indicate that just as this roof opened and the angels of Allah ta'ala came in the same way very soon there will be an operation on your heart. Your chest will be sliced open, your heart will be removed, but you do not have to be worried. Just as you saw that this roof, after it split and we came through, now if you look at the roof and the ceiling, there's nothing, as if there's no crack there at all. So in the same way, you do not have to be worried. And also to indicate that an incident is soon going to take place in your life, which will be very, very unique. And they also conveyed that Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala is desirous of meeting you. Allah ta'ala is now desirous of meeting you. That means you, O my beloved Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, who used to receive wahi all the time, and Jibreel alayhi salatu wasalam was the one that was conveying this wahi to you from Allah ta'ala. Now you will meet Allah ta'ala in person. He was the only Nabi that was given this opportunity to see Allah ta'ala with his own naked eyes. So therefore Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was brought over to the Hatim. Now that Hatim also, we go there, we make tawaf around the Hatim, and we sometimes make namaz in the Hatim, but we don't recall that this was the Hatim where Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam was brought by these angels, and that is where he was placed on the ground. And then Hazrat Jibreel alayhi salatu wasalam sliced open his chest and he removed his heart, and a tray was brought from Jannat of gold, because it is haram for the Muslim men to use anything of gold in this world. In Jannat they will be able to use it. For the women folk it is permissible. I'm not talking of gold color, I'm talking about true gold. It is not permissible to wear anything, whether it's a ring, and especially when it comes to marriages and engagements, then many people give to the bridegroom rings of gold or golden rings, and then they make them wear it, which is totally haram to wear. Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam has clearly declared that in the hadith. But this was from Jannat that this tray came. Otherwise it's not permissible to use golden spoons. Again, I'm not referring to gold color spoons or gold plated spoons, because many people misunderstand. Lots of things are misunderstood. Many things are quoted out of context. There are many things that I get phone calls, Maulana, you said a certain thing. Even my angel does not know about that, what has been said. Therefore, I always tell them, whenever a person quotes me, tell them to get a written quote. Don't trust the other quotes. Always get a written quote, because many things are quoted totally out of context. What the person asks over the telephone and what he conveys after that is totally different. So many things, without exaggeration, so many things are quoted totally out of context or absolute lies. And it circulates then in the society. Therefore I say that feel free to ask me personally. I don't have any right-hand man and left-hand man. Everyone on my right is my right-hand man and everyone on my left are my left-hand men. Don't feel that you have to go through some secretary or some... I don't have any secretary and I don't have any left-hand and right-hand men. You ask me personally, and if you have any doubt or somebody has conveyed something which is creating a doubt in your mind, then feel free to ask me. Alhamdulillah, I'm in the masjid and I can swear in the name of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala that to the best of my knowledge, whatever I consider to be haq from the Quran and the Sunnah, then I have, no matter what kind of temptation may have been given to me when it came to inheritance matters and other matters like that, but I will say only that which is haq. Why must I lose my iman? And why must I sacrifice my jannat? And why must I sacrifice the pleasure of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala for a few miserable coins of this world? So therefore, if there is anything that is creating any doubt in any person's mind, find out. Get a written code, as I say. Because nowadays, even the written codes you can't trust. So Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, that operation that was done, Hazrat Jibreel alayhi salatu wasalam, now at that time, it was not something that was easy for the people to understand. Because we have heard of so many heart transplants and bypasses and all kinds of things in our days, science is proving that at that time they were rejecting that. How could that have happened? But science is proving that it is possible. So Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, that tray that was brought, it was from Jannat. It was gold from Jannat. And in there was brought Iman and Hikmah, a liquid of Iman and Hikmah, which was filled into the heart of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam. Now there again, when we say Iman and Hikmah was put into that heart, so Na'uzu Billah, when we say Na'uzu Billah, it means that Allah Ta'ala must protect us from believing in such a thing. Does it mean that no Rasul Pak did not have Iman, that he did not have Hikmah? Who could have had Iman if he didn't have Iman? Our Iman is because of the Iman of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. So what was this that was filled? It was to create that istidad in him, that capability in him, that strength in him, to see Allah Ta'ala with his naked eyes. We all know that when the jets are flying, the fuel of the jet is different from what we put in the bicycle sometimes. The fuel of the jet is different from that which is put in the scooter. The fuel of the jet is different from that which is used in the cars. The power and the strength and the octane rating has to be very, very high. So here Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, he was being prepared for this journey that was going to take place. This journey that was going to take place, he was being prepared for that. It's not that he didn't have Iman and Hikmah, na'uzu billah. So Rasulullah says that from there, now to again cut the whole story short, Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam was taken from there, from Masjid al-Haram to Masjid al-Aqsa. And Allah Ta'ala says, Alladhi barakna hawlahu linuriyahu min ayatina. The precincts of which we have blessed, so that we may show him our signs. Brothers, if you could move a little more than those brothers who are standing and not finding any place, how long they're going to stand, just at least make some accommodation for them. So Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam then says he was brought to Masjid al-Aqsa. Now Masjid al-Aqsa is the furthest mosque. Rasul Pak sallallahu alayhi wasalam, when he arrived there, all the angel, all the anbiya of the past, Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala gathered them there. And Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, Hazrat Jibreel alayhi salatu wasalam told him, they are waiting for you to now lead the congregation. So he made the namaz. He now became the Imamul Anbiya. Allah Ta'ala showed that he was Imamul Nas. Then he became the Imamul Anbiya, the Imam of all the Anbiya in Masjid al-Aqsa. And then when Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam went right above the seventh heaven, then there he made namaz of all the Malaika, and he became Imam of all the Malaika. Allah Ta'ala wanted to show that I am taking him to the height, that there will be nobody in this world, and there will be no scientific research, or there will be no technology that can reach the heights that my Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam will be reaching, and that he is the one for everyone right from now until the day of Qiyamah. Everyone is under him. He is going to go to the highest level. So therefore Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala made him make the imamat of all the anbiya. Now many things happen in between, but something of significance was that Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam was given in a tray water and milk. Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam was given liquor or alcohol and milk. So Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam took the milk and drank. As Jibreel alayhi salatu wasalam said that what you have chosen is fitra. If only you had taken the sharab, then your ummah would have gone astray. From there, a very important lesson is taken that the Nabi for the ummah is, or the father is just like the father for the children. The father amongst the children, it is just like that. That if the Nabi of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala had to do, na'uzubillah, something wrong, then the effects would have fallen on the ummatis. So here the fathers, if you are not going to behave, if we are not going to be disciplined, if our lifestyle is going to be that of the kuffar and the mushrikeen, if our lifestyle is going to be that of the Hollywood and the Bollywood stars, then our children will definitely be affected and influenced. If we as fathers are going to watch porn, we are going to read filthy literature, we are going to neglect our salat, then if those children are going to disobey us, if they are going to kick us out of our homes, and if they are going to swear us, and if they are going to slap us, and if they are going to do those things which are so shocking to even mention in the masjid, then we will have nobody to blame but ourselves. It is we who are providing those things for them to go astray. I mentioned, I think, quite a few times in my bayans, incidents that are taking place, especially when it comes to this television and the movies. Sometimes people think that we have become paranoid. But what do we do when we are hearing of such kinds of incidents? Allah Ta'ala must protect us. I do not wish to repeat. Nevertheless, but just for the benefit of somebody, if it can help, is that there are many incidents that took place after that also. But I mentioned in one of my majlises that that young girl who writes to me, she says that after having watched a certain film, such hatred built in my heart for my mother that I would have liked to strangle her. And yet my mother has not done anything wrong. She's a wonderful mother. But after watching a certain film, this desire comes into my heart. And I hate my mother for no reason. A young boy says the same thing. I hate both my parents after having watched a certain film. What is in the background to that film, I don't know. One young girl from the school, she says and she writes, and I'm speaking to you in the masjid. Believe me, I'm not speaking a lie. I'm not telling you stories just to try and convince you. She says that I saw this certain film in which the father commits incest with his daughter. And she says, after having watched that film, every time that my father walks into the house, I want to sleep with my father. Na'uzu billahi min zalik. Do we want this kind of incidents in the lives of our children? Do we want this kind of incident in our life? Do we want these kind of thoughts to go and run in the minds of our daughters? Who is going to be blamed for this? Who provided those televisions in those homes? And who gave them the opportunity to watch those films? And who took them to the cinemas? Now again, so many cinemas have opened up in the new complex, and who will you find there? We must go and see. Brothers, these are the things that's happening. That young person tells me that, Maulana, he says that I, after watching a certain film, he says, I feel like shooting my father. So much so that he says, I have a gun and I try to restrain myself. Sometimes late, I'm telling you the truth, he says, sometimes at late part of the night, the thought comes into my mind that I must go and blow his head off. For no reason. Now if we will hear one of these days that some young person blew his father's head off, then we will think that why did this happen? But we do not know what is going in his mind. He has become like sick. He does not know. He's losing control of his emotions and his self. And they all attribute it to a certain film, certain film, certain film. And besides that, I've got documented evidence. I keep such kinds of letters so that if a person does not believe, he can have a look at it. That this is what is happening. So for our own sake, for our own sake, it's not for anybody else, it's for our own sake, try and clear these things out of our homes and out of our lives. We ourselves will find peace, and our families will find peace and happiness. Otherwise we are not going to find any kind of peace. Just last night one young person tells me, well, I can't sleep, I have to take tablets to sleep. Why? Because I have been let down by a certain young girl. Now this is that restlessness, anxieties and worries is lazim. It must take place when we are going to be disobedient to Allah. So Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam is taken to Masjid al-Aqsa. Now this safar from Masjid al-Haram to Masjid al-Aqsa is called Isra. And from there to the heavens is called Mi'raj. A kind of a lift was brought. Uruj of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam took place. It was like on a lift. Now it is easy for us to understand these days that a person stands and 100 floors is gone up. So if Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala created that kind of lift, and from this safar from Masjid al-Haram to Masjid al-Aqsa was on Buraq, and the speed of that Buraq was that its first step was until the way the eyes, the distance that the eye sees, that was its first step. Now the speed also, it is easy for us to understand. We don't have to explain these things. There's plenty of evidence now. Science has made things easy for us. But those people at that, years ago, it was difficult for them to understand. So Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala brought him. Now on the way, Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam was shown many, many things. Rasul Pak sallallahu alayhi wasalam, because the time is running out, I just want to go through quickly and very briefly, that Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam was shown that there were people whose heads were being smashed. And after a little while, the head comes right, again they take a stone and they smash it. It comes right, they take a block and again they smash it. So Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam asked that, what is this, Ya Jibreel? Jibreel alayhi salatu wasalam said, these are those people in your ummat whose heads become very heavy at the time of namaz. When the time of salat comes, their heads become very heavy. In other words, they find it very difficult to read namaz. They don't get up for salat. So this is the punishment for them. Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam was shown women who were hanging by their breasts, and the fire of Jahannam was like waves in which they were going up and down. And Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, when he questioned, he said that these are the women who used to commit adultery or fornication in your ummah. In another one, he was shown that where there are pots of meat or flesh, one side it is very, very good, well cooked, delicious, beautiful aroma that is coming out, and another pot filthy, dirty, stinking meat. And these people are eating from that which is stinking and dirty and filthy and decayed. So he asked, Ya Jibreel, what is this? He said that these are the people in your ummah whom Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala gave halal, but instead of halal, they went and took haram. They leave the halal and they go for the haram. And also he was told, according to another report, that these are those men and women of your ummah whom Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala gave, those women, the men Allah ta'ala gave them wives, and those women Allah ta'ala gave them husbands. So they leave their husbands or they leave their wives and they go and commit adultery. So this is the punishment of theirs. If we have to just talk on that one thing, now we can go on. Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam was shown people with huge bellies, and they were like snakes wriggling in those bellies. You could see from the outside like snakes wriggling. And they were falling with the weight onto the ground, and they were being trampled. He said, Ya Rasulullah said, Ya Jibreel, who are these people? He said, these are the people of your ummah, the punishment of those people who are taking interest. Those who take interest, this is their punishment. Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam was shown people who are very, very tiny, and walls are collapsing over them. Then again they get up, and it carries on like that. The punishment continues. So you ask that, who are these people? He said, these are the people who used to be very proud and arrogant. They used to think they are some very great people, and their arrogance knew no limits. So this is their punishment here. They are suffering such kind of humiliation and disgrace. Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam was shown that people whose lips had become long like those of the camels, and they were being cut with the scissors of fire. So Rasul Pak sallallahu alayhi wasalam asked Jibreel that, who are these people? Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam was told that these are the people in your ummah who create fitna with their speech. That with their speech they create fitna. Whenever they say something, it will create fitna. Or the wise of your ummah, the speakers of your ummah, who is to create divisions and disunity and fitnas in the ummah, instead of inviting them towards haq and towards deen, they used to make them fight and quarrel and argue and create fitnas. So these are those people. Or there were people that they had nails of steel, and they were scratching their own bodies and their own faces. So Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam was informed that these are those people who gossip about others and who backbite about others and who slander others. Now this is their punishment here. Some people, their own flesh was being cut and given to them to eat. So that these are the people who backbite and they think nothing of it. So that this is their punishment in this world. They used to eat the flesh of the dead brothers in the world. Now here, this is their punishment. And it went on like that. So many things were shown to Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam. And then of course, when he was taken and shown Jannat, then in Jannat he was shown so much of ni'mat, so much of ni'mat. Now that was to show that, Ya Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasalam, these people, they were offering you everything. They said, if you are intending to get married, we will give you the best woman and any amount of women. And if you want wealth, we will make you the richest person in the world. And if you want to be our ruler, then we will make you our king. But the only thing you must do is stop inviting towards the deen of yours. So Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam said that even if they give me the sun on my right hand and the moon on my left, I will not give up the propagation of this deen. Either I die in the process or the deen of Islam spreads. So Allah Ta'ala was now showing him in Jannat that this is what I have got in store for all those who are suffering with you. Tell them, go now and inform them that you have seen what Allah Ta'ala has kept in Jannat for them. مَا لَا عَيْنٌ رَأَتْ وَلَا عُزُنٌ سَمِعَتْ وَلَا خَطَرَ عَلَىٰ قَلْبِ بَشَرٍ, which no eye has seen, no ear has heard, and the thought also didn't cross any person's mind. So this was shown to Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam in paradise, so that these people feel consolation. They get consolation and comfort that these are periods of trials, difficulties, hardships, but soon we will get over that. And if we have to lose our life also in the process, then it is not a loss, because Allah Ta'ala has got unlimited ni'mats for us. Now that was Jannat, Jahannam, a very brief scene. Now the people say that people didn't even go to Jannat and Jahannam still, then how was he shown this? So some have said that it is the azab of qabr that was shown, that those who are suffering in the qabr because of those sins, this is that punishment. And some say that it is that punishment that they will finally suffer in Jahannam, that was shown to Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam. So now we'll just go very quickly to Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam. Coming to the first heaven, the door was tapped, it was asked, who is with you? As Jibreel alayhi salatu wasalam said, Rasulullah Pak sallallahu alayhi wasalam said, has he been invited? He said, yes. The door was opened, he meets Hazrat Adam alayhi salatu wasalam. Now there again, I explained many times that the sun, the moon, the stars and everything that we see, it is all far, far below the first heaven. They haven't been able to reach certain stars as yet. Some are billions of miles away from the earth and they haven't been able to reach them. Just the moon and the sun, they are not so far away. The moon is only 240,000 miles away. So that is not something that is difficult. These things are all suspended far beneath the first heaven. Nobody went there to the first heaven, and they will never be able to get there. So there this question was asked, and he meets Hazrat Adam alayhi salatu wasalam. There are many reasons why he meets Hazrat Adam alayhi salatu wasalam first, but without going into the details, then he meets Hazrat Yahya alayhi salatu wasalam and Hazrat Isa alayhi salatu wasalam on the second heaven. Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam then meets Hazrat Idris alayhi salatu wasalam, Hazrat Yusuf alayhi salatu wasalam. Then he meets Hazrat Idris alayhi salatu wasalam. Then in the Hazrat Harun alayhi salatu wasalam. On the sixth, Hazrat Musa. And on the seventh, Hazrat Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam. Now all these Nabis of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, just like other Nabis, also went through a lot of trying times. But the purpose of choosing to meet these people was they went through very, very difficult times. And it was very similar to what Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam and his people were going through. Jealousy, treachery, boycott, ostracism, attacks, and hunger, starvation, poverty. Now all those things these Nabis that had gone through, murders, killings. So he was being showed that, look, these Nabis before you also went through such kind of conditions, so you must not lose hope in Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, and inform the people on the ground that Allah ta'ala is with you irrespective of the conditions that they find themselves in. This is a test, sorting out the munafiqeen and the hypocrites from the believers. So Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam then comes, and then from there the raff-raff was brought and he comes into the presence of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. Now cutting short all the things that have happened in between, read the history of Miraj. But I always enjoy and really enjoy and truly enjoy this conversation between Allah and His Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasalam at the very first meeting. And whenever I mention it, I get such sweetness in my heart that I do not know how to express it to you. Here is the Rasul of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala after every sacrifice that he has made. And now he has come into the presence of Allah Ta'ala. Over 70,000 curtains of Noor, Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam said, I had to go through. And he was immersed in Noor, complete Noor, and 70,000 curtains before he sees Allah Ta'ala in his glory. And he had been prepared for that which no other Nabi had seen. Unke rukh se naqaba juthegi, aaj nazron ki miraj hogi. Unke rukh se naqaba juthegi, aaj nazron ki miraj hogi. Ek muddat se aaj ahle gham ko muskurane ki mohlat milegi. Now the veil covering Allah Ta'ala has been removed, and Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam is come into his presence. Now at that time Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam could have said many things, but what does he say? At-tahiyyatu lillahi was-salawatu wat-tayyibat. All my oral ibadat, all my physical worship, and all my monetary worship, Ya Allah, everything for you. Nothing for name, nothing for fame, nothing for any kind of publication, nothing so that I may be photographed and my name appears in the papers that so and so made this generous donation to a certain institution. Nothing for name or fame or gain. Nothing. Everything solely, O Allah, for you. It was for your pleasure alone that I did everything that I had done. And I'm presenting this to you, O my beloved Allah. Now Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam is giving this to Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. And look at Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala's reply to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. As-salamu alayka ayyuhan nabiyyu wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Salamati be on you, O my beloved Prophet. Salamati be on you. As-salamu alayka ayyuhan nabi. How beautifully Allah ta'ala addresses him. And we know that what is salam? Salam means that may you get peace in this world, in the hereafter. May you, like when we make salam to somebody, it is a guarantee, it's an assurance. And also it's a dua for that person, that may Allah Ta'ala give you peace in this world, in the akhirat, in qabr, until you reach Jannat. May Allah Ta'ala give you peace and happiness in the morning, in the afternoon, in the evening. May Allah Ta'ala give you peace in your home. May Allah give you peace and barakat. There's such a long dua that we are making just in this salam. So Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, Allah Ta'ala says, As-salamu alayka ayyuhan nabi wa rahmatullah, and the rahmat, the mercy of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, wa barakatuh, and the blessings of Allah Ta'ala. Now everything that a person can think of has been given in these three things. As-salamu alayka ayyuhan nabi, rahmat of Allah, and barakat of Allah. And that is exactly what the ummah needs today, exactly what you and I are in need of today. So Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, at that height, he didn't forget sinners like us. This is something that really makes me wonder, that in that stage, nobody would have even remembered those on the ground. What glory, what shine, what he was watching. But at that time he says, As-salamu alayna wa ala ibadillahi s-salihin. Salamati be on us, and also all those righteous servants of yours. All those righteous and pious servants up till the day of Qiyamah. Oh Allah, give the same blessings, the same mercy, and the same salamati to all of them. He made that dua for us, and that dua has been accepted. Therefore, if we want peace, if we want rahmat, if we want barakat, if we want salamati, if we want these ni'mats of Allah Ta'ala, then there is no other route, there is no other way, there is no other choice but to become righteous and pious servants of Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala. And then see how individual problems, community problems, and national problems get solved. I will conclude on this because we have to make dua. There's so much, as I said, Miraj is one subject which we can talk the whole night and day, and it cannot end because there's so much to it. But what you have heard, even that is sufficient. But what we have to understand is that then the gift of the five namazes was given to Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. In this night of Miraj, all other ahkam came on the earth. Zakat, Hajj, and everything came on the earth. But this law on this hukam of salat was given to him right above the seven heavens. And it was given as a gift to Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam for his ummah. Therefore this salat is the Miraj of the believers. Salat is the Miraj of the believers. And the neglect of this salat is the major cause of our problems. In the first place, we don't make the salat five times a day. Those who are making it, so many are neglectful of the jamaat salat. And yet Rasulullah ﷺ indicated his heart's desire to go and burn up the homes of those people who do not come to the masjid and make namaz with jamaat. Of course, if they have a legitimate excuse, sickness or fear or something, it's different. But just without any reason, if they don't make namaz with jamaat and they are in the area and the vicinity of the masjid, then Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam declared his intention to burn those homes. And I've mentioned many times that if it was the desire of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam to burn those homes, then we must believe that our homes are burning already. With all the fire that is burning our homes, the fire of arguments and fire of quarrels and fire of divisions and disunity is already burning it. And then sometimes real burning takes place, as we saw in the riots in India, Pakistan and other parts of the world. So therefore, these are things that Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam mentioned. Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, whatever he has said is the truth and nothing but the truth. So this salat is the imaduddin, is the pillar of deen. Neglect of this salat, then we will not get anywhere. Istaeenu bis sabri was salat. Now if we have to speak on namaz itself, we require a couple hours and we cannot finish. But let us just take that lesson that we have gathered here in such large numbers for what? If it is to celebrate, then there's no celebration. But if it is to take a lesson, then indeed we can take a lesson that this Mi'raj, it was the night in which Allah Ta'ala gave Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam the five salat as a gift. So we should not be negligent in any way as far as the salat is concerned, because it connects a person with Allah. And it is the means of drawing the rahmat and assistance of Allah Ta'ala. Read Hazrat Shaykh Zakariya Sahib Rahmatullah Alayhi's Fazail and Namaz, and then see how many hadiths he has compiled there for the benefit of the Ummah on the virtues of the reading of Salat and the punishment and azab of Allah Ta'ala on not reading it and the neglect of Salat of Jamaat and all the rest of the things. May Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala give us all Hidayat. Now put your heart, mind and soul into Dua. May Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala accept our Duas that we are going to make for the light of. اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وبارك وسلم اللهم ربنا ظلمنا أنفسنا وإن لم تغفر لنا وترحمنا لنكونن من الخاسرين يا أرحم الراحمين يا أكرم الأكرمين يا غياث المستغيثين. Oh Allah, forgive each and every one of us. Oh Allah, forgive each and every one of us. Forgive us, forgive our parents, forgive our wives and children, forgive our brothers and sisters, forgive the entire ummah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Oh my beloved Allah, oh my Rahim Allah, oh my Kareem Allah, we know that it is because of our sins that we are suffering everywhere in the world. Oh my beloved Allah, we are acknowledging, we are confessing before you. Oh my Allah, we are extending these begging bowls before you. Ya Allah, you have attached these begging bowls to our bodies. And you want us to raise them and ask and beg of you. Ya Allah, we are begging of you. You are all seeing, you are all hearing, you are all knowing. Oh Allah, even if there is a tiny little black ant that is crawling on a pitch black rock in the darkest of all nights, you are aware of the movement of that ant. Oh Allah, you are aware of whatever we are asking you. Ya Allah, you are seeing us, you are hearing. Oh Allah, you are not any person that is blind. You are not deaf, you are not dumb. Oh Allah, you are not just an idol of stone. Oh my beloved Allah, you are all powerful, almighty Allah. Allah, hum teri taraf rujoo kar rahe hai. You dearly love the forgiveness of the sins of the sinners when they seek forgiveness. Ya Allah, we are seeking forgiveness from you. Even if our sins are like the waves of the ocean, if our sins are more than the grains of sand on earth, if our sins are more than the raindrops that fall from the heavens, if our sins are more than the entire creation put together, then too your forgiveness is much, much more than that. Oh Allah, just one drop from your ocean of forgiveness is sufficient to wash away all our sins. Oh Allah, if man can make a dynamite stick which can blow up huge mountains, oh my Allah, what is it difficult for you to blow away the mountains of sins that we have accumulated? Ay mere Allah, hame maaf farma. May Allah forgive our major sins, forgive our minor sins, forgive the sins that we committed knowingly, forgive the sins that we committed unknowingly, forgive the sins that we committed in the light of day or darkness of nights. Oh my Allah, you could have seized us there and then. You could have paralyzed us the moment we walked towards haram. You could have paralyzed us the moment we touched haram. You could have made us us blind the moment we saw haram. You could have made us deaf the moment we listened to haram. You could have made us dumb the moment we spoke haram. But oh Allah, how forgiving you are. How merciful you are. How compassionate you are. How kind you are. How loving you are. That in spite of all our sins, you are still giving us food to eat. You are giving us clothes to wear. Oh Allah, you are giving us shelter above our heads. You have given us lovely modes of transport. Oh Allah, so much of your ni'mat you are blessing us with. Allah, we use every ni'mat of yours for your disobedience. We use the eyes given by you for your disobedience. We use the ears given by you for your disobedience. We use the hands and feet blessed by you for your disobedience. Allah, we use our heart and mind for your disobedience. If there had been another Allah, he would have destroyed us by now. Lekin mere Allah, tu rahim hai, tu kareem hai, hum gunegar hai, hum siyakar hai, hum gande hai, hum nalayak hai, hum badkar hai, hum sab kuch hai, lekin bande tere hai. Ey Allah, tujhe chhod kar hum jaye kaha? Where are we going to go, O Allah, if we leave you? There is no one for us besides you. O Allah, everything is in your control. Our lives in your control. Our sight in your control. Our hearing and speech in your control. Our heart, liver and lungs in your control. Ya Allah, if you decide to stop the heart from beating, nobody in the world can cause it to beat. O Allah, if you decide to terminate the life, all the doctors and physicians of the world cannot continue with that life. Amen. Allah, everything is in your control. We are turning towards you. We are ashamed of the sins that we have committed in our lives. Tonight we are ashamed, oh my beloved Allah. We are expressing our desire of not to return to those sins anymore. Ya Allah, give us the himmat and strength in ourselves like lions to fight against nafs and shaitan. Oh Allah, nafs and shaitan haven't brought any happiness in our lives. They have brought nothing but misery in our lives. Nothing but anxieties and restlessness in our lives. Oh my beloved Allah, we are ashamed of the sins that we have committed. Oh Allah, we do not want to return to those sins anymore. Ey mere pyare khuda, hame maaf farma. Ya Allah, bless us all with long life. Bless the entire ummah with long life. Bless us with good health, oh Allah. Bless us with physical strength and spiritual strength, oh my Allah. Ya Allah, hum kamzor hai, tu to kamzor nahi hai. Ey Allah, remove our difficulties and problems. Ya Allah, those who are sick and ailing, give them cure. We are spiritually sick and physically ill, give us cure. Those who have financial difficulties, remove the financial difficulties. Those who are depressed, suffering depression, give them happiness and joy. Those whose children have gone onto drugs and drink and wine and women, give them, bring them back onto Islam and Sharia. Ey Allah, give us the tawfiq of doing those things which are pleasing to you. Ya Allah, unite the hearts of brothers and sisters. Unite the hearts of parents and children. Unite the hearts of husbands and wives. Unite the hearts of the entire ummah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Ey mere pyare khuda, the ummah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is suffering in Chechnya, Bosnia, Palestine, Kashmir, and especially in Afghanistan and so many other parts of the world. Ey mere pyare khuda, dushmanan Islam ek ho gaye hai. Oh Allah, the enemies of Islam, the enemies of the ummah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Oh Allah, they are gathering forces from all sides. Oh Allah, their intention is to destroy the Taliban. Their intention is to destroy the Muslim ummah. Oh my beloved Allah, their intention is to harm and cause harm to the feeble, the weak, the old. Oh my beloved Allah, they are raining bombs upon civilians and innocent people. Allah, there is no sin that they have committed except that sin that they have believed in you, oh my beloved Allah. With absolutely no evidence, oh my Allah, they are bombing left, right and center. Mere pyare khuda, this coalition and this alliance that they have built up, oh my Allah, your forces are much, much more than their forces. Allah, shake up their military might and power. Allah, shake up their military might and power. Allah, cause their planes to crash. Oh Allah, cause such storms in the ocean that the ships sink. Ey mere pyare khuda, inke jihazon ko aapas mein takra de. Ey Allah, inke jihazon ko aapas mein takra de. Allah, cause division and disunity in their alliances. Oh Allah, cause division and disunity in their alliance. Oh Allah, shake them up like you shook the Aad and Samud. Allah, you protected the Kaabatullah from the army of Abraha with elephants that he had come, oh my Allah. But you protected Kaabatullah and you sent down your forces of Ababil just with tiny little pebbles in their beaks. Oh Allah, which pebbles served like bullets and you destroyed the forces of Abraha. Allah, you destroyed the forces of Fir'aun. You destroyed so many other forces in the past. Allah, aaj bhi tu wahi khuda hai. You are the same Allah. You have the same power. You have the same qudrat. Allah, we have gone weak, but you are not weak. Allah, you are not weak. Mere Allah, tu to kamzor nahi hai. Allah, hum kamzor hai. Lekin tu hamari madad farma. Allah, assist them and help them with the malaika. Assist them and help them as you help the sahaba in Badr, as you help the sahaba in Uhud, as you help them in other places. Ey mere Allah, tu unki madad farma, unki nusrat farma. Allah, unke upar tera azab nazil farma. Allah, bless them with hidayat. But if hidayat is not in their muqaddar, and they have made up their minds that they are going to destroy and they're going to cause harm and they're going to rain their bombs, then oh Allah, cause those bombs to rain upon them. Ey mere Allah, tu hawa ka rukh unki taraf kar de. Allah, send your forces of wind. Allah, send your forces of rain. Allah, send your forces of snow. Allah, send your forces and destroy them like you destroyed the nations in the past. Ey mere pyare khuda, tu unke pentagon ko hila de. Allah, unki batil schemes ko fail kar de. Allah, destroy and fail all their batil schemes. Allah, tu musalmanon ko quwwat naseeb farma, himmat naseeb farma. Give strength to the Muslim ummah. Allah, give strength to the mujahideen forces. Allah, we congratulate those mujahideen forces who are not prepared to sell their iman and Islam just for miserable gain. Allah, give hidayat to those Muslim governments. Allah, unko tu hidayat naseeb farma. How long are they going to watch the destruction of their Muslim brothers and sisters? How long are they going to see the feeble, the old, the young, the little babies being smashed to smithereens? Ey Allah, tu unko hidayat de. Ey Allah, just for the sake of their governments, and just for the sake of some loans, and just for the sake of some military installations, اے میرے پیارے خدا, وہ کفار اور مشرکین کے ساتھ ہو گئے ہیں. اے اللہ, تو ان کو ہدایت دے دے. اے اللہ, تو ان کو ہدایت دے دے. اے اللہ, پاکستان کے حکمراں کو ہدایت دے دے. اے اللہ, پاکستان کے حکمراں کو ہدایت دے دے. اے اللہ, how can they watch this destruction with their eyes? اے اللہ, ان کا ایمان کہاں گیا؟ اے اللہ, ان کی غیرت کہاں گئی؟ لیکن میرے پیارے خدا, تو ہی ہدایت دینے والا ہے. اے اللہ, ان کے مقدر میں ہدایت نہ ہو تو ان کا تختہ الٹ دے میرے پیارے خدا. اے میرے پیارے خدا, تو ہماری مدد فرما, ہماری نصرت فرما. اے اللہ, ہمیں قوت عطا فرما. اے اللہ, bless us with yaqeen in you, bless us with trust in you. یا اللہ, give us such bond with you that nafs and shaitan cannot move us from you. اے میرے پیارے خدا, bless us with the best of this world and the best of آخرہ. اے میرے پیارے خدا, bless us with the best of this world and the best of آخرہ. اے اللہ, رسول پاک صلی اللہ علیہ وسلم, all the du'as that he made for the ummah, Ya Allah, bless us with all the goodness that he asked of you. Ya Allah, one day we have to leave this world and come to you. Ek din is dunya ko chhod kar tere paas aana hai. We are not going to remain here forever and ever. Ya Allah, don't let the angel of death find us in a disco. Ya Allah, we do not know when our death will come, where it will come and how it will come. Ya Allah, there were days when the Muslims desired that their death comes in Madinah Tayyiba. The desire of the Muslim was that his death come in jihad. The desire of the Muslim was that his death come in a masjid. The desire was that his death come while reading the Quran, or whilst making namaz, or whilst making zikrullah, or whilst being engaged in the work of dawat. Ey mere pyare khuda, or if not, then at least not engaged in any kind of sin. Lekin mere pyare khuda, today the Muslim dies in a cinema, Muslims die in discos, Muslims die in casinos, Muslims die at the rooms of prostitutes. Allah, Allah, when my Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam is informed that that ummat for whom so much of your blood was shed in Taif, that ummat for whom so much of your blood was shed in Uhud, that ummat for whom so much of your blood was shed in so many other places, that ummat for whom you cried so much, that ummat for whom you stood whole night in prayer, that ummat who was your main concern, today the ummat is in discos and cinemas and theaters and filthy porn movies. Hey Allah, filthy literature. Mere pyare Allah, what must be crossing the mind of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam? How much of injury and pain we are causing to him, and especially when he is informed that even in your Mubarak city of Madina Tayyiba and the Mubarak city of Makkah Mukarramah, just a few meters from the Haram, And the same filthy Hollywood and Bollywood films can be seen on the television screens. Ay Allah, we are causing him such injury and pain. Ay Allah, humare hal par raham farma. Humare hal par raham farma. Oh Allah, give us barakat in our homes. Give us barakat in our lives. Give us barakat in our businesses. Give us barakat in our families. Ay Allah, give us barakat in our time. Ya Allah, protect our iman. Protect our lives. Protect our properties. Protect our wealth. Protect our children. Protect the ummah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Allah, all the works of deen which are taking place, accept them. Bless us with ikhlas in our activities. Ay mere pyare khuda, my beloved Nabi alayhi salatu wa sallam, all his life he made duas for us, especially in Hajjatul Wida. All the duas that he made for the ummah. Ya Allah, bless us with all the goodness that he asked. And protect us from all those fitnas and corruption and mischief that he asked for protection. Especially the fitnas of Dajjal. Oh Allah, fitnas are lashing at us from our right, from our left, from in front of us and behind us, from above us and beneath us. Oh Allah, who can we turn towards? Allah, tere hi taraf hum rujoo kar rahe hai. Allah, hamare haal par raham farma. Allah, all our students who are going to be writing examination, give them success in their examinations. Ya Allah, protect them from the fitnas at the schools and universities and colleges. And Ya Allah, make them assets for our community. Mere pyare khuda, huzur paak sahab ke sadqe tufail mein hamari duaon ko qubool farma. Ya Allah, when the time of our death comes, let it be shahadat in Madina Tayyiba. Allah, let us be at the rosa of Nabi alayhi salatu wa salam with a salatu wa salamu alayka ya Rasulallah on our lips. Ay mere pyare khuda, at the time of our death, show us some tajalli of yours, that our soul comes dancing towards you. Allah, if you become ours, then everything is ours, and if you are not ours, then nothing is ours. Agar ek to nahi mera to koi shay nahi meri, jo tu mera to sab mera, falak mera zabi meri. Rabbana taqabbal minna innaka antas samiul alim, wa tub alayna innaka antat tawwabur rahim. إن الله وملائكته يصلون على النبي يا أيها الذين آمنوا صلوا عليه وسلموا تسليما اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وبارك وسلم سبحان ربك رب العزة عما يصفون وسلام على المرسلين والحمد لله رب العالمين